Oh, you see, nobody, and then they all go at once. Yes. 100. And William, you had one there. A10. Well, we'll see if we have time. But 100, first of all, just over the page. Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead. Is there all ill for thee? We'll sing the first two verses of the hymn 100, please. First verse and chorus, tremendous hymn of testimony. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 310, the first verse and the chorus, please. Tonight is the hymn number 123. We bid you welcome on this glorious Resurrection Day, a day of rejoicing for the people of God. The Saviour is alive, and praise God, He's alive for evermore. 123, I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today, and I know that He is living, whatever men may say. Let's really sing this with all our hearts. Tremendous hymn of testimony. Tremendous hymn of praise. And let's all stand together while we sing 123, please.
Thank you.
Lift up your voice and sing. If ever there's a day we ought to lift up our voice and sing, it is today. And when we come to that final "He Lives" in the chorus, let's hang it out until I either drop or drop my hand or you drop, whatever one of those three things happens first. But let's really lift it. Let's really sing it with all our heart. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God tonight, knowing that the Saviour is alive and He's alive forevermore? Praise the Lord. 123, the third verse and the chorus, please. And while we're singing this third verse, we'll maybe ask our brother Lawrence, our youth leader. I think he's there somewhere. Yes, he is. If he'll come to the pulpit and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. We'll sing the chorus again, and then maybe it'll give them a spirit of praise in their soul. Just sing the chorus again. He lives, he lives. Maybe it's because you've no gas, but they would say. Right. Amen.
Let's come before the Lord. Let's just still ourselves in the presence of God this evening. Let us all join together to seek God's face and God's help for this meeting this evening. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we draw nigh again into your presence at the very opening of this meeting. In no other way and on no other grounds, but in and through the name of your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you today for everything that he means to us and he has done for us. We thank you for every individual that sits in this meeting house this evening, with those clear testimonies that Christ Jesus lives for me. O God, we thank thee for the very day that the Son of God, in the fullness of time, entered into the womb, was born, lived that sinless life on behalf of his people, died that atoning death, that the whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our God and our Father, at the very outset of this meeting, we come this evening in Jesus' name, and we're praying for your presence. We need your presence for even us, your people. O God, we thank you for your day already, for thy word to us, for reminding us again of all that thy Son has purchased for us, and in that great resurrecting morning, of all that he has accomplished on behalf of his people. But then, Lord, we are mindful again of those that would be here and they know thee not as their own and personal Saviour. O God, be merciful unto them. Draw graciously near, we pray, awaking the souls. O Lord, enable them to see their true state and standing before thee today, and see that the only remedy, the only cure is found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit and commend all to thee this evening. We remember the young. We bring them before thee, the children. And, O God, we thank thee that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." We remember even the elderly. Remember those that are unable to be here this evening because of sickness and infirmities. Wherever they be, in the hospital, in the home, draw graciously near unto them. And may that Spirit of God, that blessed heavenly dove, be that witness and care even to their hearts and their souls this evening. To that end, undertake for this meeting. Remember the one who will testify. Remember, Lord, even as we sing these old hymns of Zion. O God, may our eye of faith be fixed upon the King of Glory. And O Lord, may our hearts swell as we see the glory of Christ this evening. To that end, abide with us, and may the Spirit of God abide in this place, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Lawrence. This morning we were blessed through the ministry of the Hebron Choir. And can I just say how much it was a blessing to our souls? And I want to thank Sylvia and all those associated with the choir for their ministry. I believe the Lord really undertook for them as they sung to us this morning, and we trust as they come now and minister to us, that yet again the Lord will be pleased to bless that ministry in Sion to the praise and the glory of his name. The Hebron Choir.
vision for me.
Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here today to glory in the cross and to say it's because of the cross that we're here. It's because of the cross that we're saved. And we thank the choir for reminding us of that tonight. We're going to turn to our second hymn tonight, 687. And this is from the children's section. We have the dedication of Little Reuben tonight. We're going to sing the first two verses of this hymn. There's a friend for little children above the bright blue sky, a friend who never changes, whose love will never die. And then we'll have the dedication. So just the first two verses, please.
Let's stand and sing. Congregation may be seated. Tonight is a dedication of a little one that has been born into our church family.
And that's always a delight for us as a congregation and a personal delight, because this little one is my grandson. So we want to welcome both families that are represented and friends that are here, and we trust that we'll have the blessing of God upon this time. There are two passages of Scripture that we always read at a dedication. One is from the Old Testament Scriptures, from 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it reminds us of that occasion when Hannah, in a very public way, brought her child to the tabernacle of old and presented him there publicly before the Lord. And then the other passage is in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 10, where the Savior himself, he puts his hands upon the children, blesses them, and so by the example of the Old Testament and the invitation of the New Testament, this family tonight are presenting Reuben before the Lord in a public way before this congregation, and asking you to take these children, this child in particular, the children of our congregation, upon your hearts to pray for them as they grow up in this sinful world. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And then that passage in Mark chapter 10. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. We'll ask the congregation to stand, please. Do you, the parents of this child, acknowledge and confess the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior?
We do.
Do you promise, depending upon divine grace, to bring up your child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Following the example of Scripture and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate thee, Reuben, born unto the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Going to bow together in prayer. I have the opportunity just to take my little grandson in my arms tonight. I'm just a pastor and a preacher, but it's my longing and desire before the Lord that Reuben will grow up to be taught faithfully in his home and in this congregation the ways of God, and when he's old enough to know his right hand from his left, to trust the Savior and to call upon his name. He's very petted at his mother, so we're just hoping this will, as long as he sees Joanna, things are going to be all right, or he's going to be all right. We're going to pray for you now. All right. Heavenly Father, we bow together in thy presence in thy house tonight, in the all precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this occasion that finds us here in the house of God. We thank thee for this family who have a desire to, in a public way, present their little one to the Lord tonight in this service, and to ask the congregation here at Hebron to pray for Reuben as he grows up in this world, that as he is educated in the things of God, as he is taught in his home the ways of the Lord, and brought along in the will of God to Sunday school and to the children's work in this house, that he will come to know the Savior and trust Christ early in life. Thank thee for the families that are represented, and we pray that your blessing will be upon them tonight, that the Lord will go with them. And Lord, as a congregation and all of our families, as we seek to do that which is right before God and teach our children the ways of God, we pray that God will give us the desire of our heart to see household salvation, to see all our children accounted for before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes. We know that children are a blessing from God. The psalmist reminds us that children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb are his reward. And oh God, we thank thee for the blessing given to Johnny and to Joanna, and for now the little boy that has been born into their home. Bless Reuben, bless Jake, we pray. Oh God, it is our desire that they will grow to know the Lord and understand the things of God early in life. Hide them in your pavilion. Protect them every day from the wiles of the devil. Protect all of our children. And bless the work of this house as we seek to guide the little ones that are growing up in the fear and the admonition of God for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing the next two verses, verses 3 and 4 of the hymn that we've been singing tonight, 687. Part of the service, we give you a very warm word of welcome to Hebron, and it is our prayer that the blessing of God will rest upon this gathering tonight, and that we will be drawn near to him, that we'll know Christ in his risen presence in this service, that he'll draw graciously near to us all. We always have the extra congregation listening in on sermon audio, and wherever you are from tonight, whatever country you're from, welcome in the Savior's name. I got a little text tonight from Graziella from Romania, and I know that she and her family are trying to listen in this evening. So if they've been able to do that, we welcome them to the service in the great name of the Saviour. Now, refreshments have been provided for you. We trust that you'll stay and have a cup of tea and something to eat after the service is over. Don't go away. There's provision for all. The announcements we will make as quickly as possible. We want the committee please to wait behind just for a few minutes after this service. I want to remind you that there's a special building fund offering today. It's also the day that we give towards our missionary cause through the Missionary Council, and the school covenant is also due. Tomorrow is the Easter Convention, the Convention Day at the Martyrs Memorial in Belfast, and the services are at 3:30 and 7 p.m. And our moderator, Dr. John Greer, will be preaching in the afternoon, and then the Reverend Thomas Murray will be preaching at the night meeting. So we do commend these services to you for prayer, And if you can get to the martyrs and support them, I know that our congregations and those who preach and participate tomorrow, there's various reports that will be made. We'd appreciate that. Thursday evening, we're having a special Easter missionary night. This will be our missionary prayer meeting. It's at 8 o'clock. You're all invited to come. And we're having two of our students from the Whitfield College of the Bible coming to take part. They are external students. They come from different countries than ourselves. One is from the Czech Republic and the other from South Korea. And we want you to pray for David Kohout, or Kohout. It might be nearer the pronunciation, that second attempt. And Jaehoon Park from South Korea. As they come, they're going to speak for about 10 minutes each and tell us a little bit about themselves, the country that they're from, and the churches that they come from, and how the Lord saved them, and some prayer requests for their lands as they seek to go back in the future to preach Christ and Him crucified. Reverend John Hanna will also be with us. He has a 12-minute DVD presentation that will bring you up to date with what's happening in Spain, and particularly there in Alcorcón. And John will address us for a few minutes as well, and then we'll get down to prayer. On Friday evening, I'm not sure of the time of departure, but the young people will know this. Our youth fellowship is going on their annual weekend, and they'll be away until the Lord's Day afternoon. Please pray for them, all the activities that they do, all the services that will be conducted. I'll be preaching for them at their morning service on the Sabbath day. Our brother Armin will be here to preach the word, our assistant, and then I'll be back in the evening time to preach, God willing, at the 7 o'clock meeting. Let me mention also on Saturday there is a work team needed to come and do some odds and ends about the church. And if you can come at any time in the morning, it's going to start at 8 o'clock, a good early start, not quite a sunrise. If you want to come earlier, you can, but our brother Philip will be leading that. If you want any further details, see Philip tonight. The home mission outreach envelopes are due next Lord's Day. The gift aid annual statements are available. They're there on the table on the left-hand side as you leave for those who contribute this way. There is a book I want to mention, Be My Daddy, A Story of Compassion and Rescue. Congregation here has taken an interest in the work of Romania. Well, since the revolution took place, and particularly in recent days, and we've thought much about the Deborah House and these girls that have been rescued from a life of abuse, and they all come from very difficult backgrounds, but there they are in the two homes that have been provided, over 20 of them, and this book gives a little bit about Romania, and it's a book about the Deborah House girls and the work in the ministry of it, and all the proceeds are going to that work. The price is $8.99, but Mr. Barnes says you get it for £8 today. So there's 60 copies. If you even know of others that would like a copy, you can get it for them. And we want to try and help this work as much as we can in the will of the Lord. Do continue to pray for the sick of the congregation, those connected to our families, and they're all in the prayer list there, the ones that we mentioned, in addition to the ones that have been on the prayer list for some time. I think that's all the announcements that we need to make tonight. We're singing together another hymn as the offering is received. It's a hymn again that comes from this section of the hymn book dealing with the resurrection of Christ. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. The hymn is 120.
final verse and we'll sing it without the music. We like to do that from time to time, and we like to hear the different parts that are sung. So let's sing it with all our hearts, no more, we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. The final verse, and we'll sing it without the music. Just in a few minutes' time, our brother Ryan is going to come and give his testimony. We thank God for the grace that has triumphed in his life, the day and the hour that the Lord saved him, the background that he came from. It doesn't matter what background you come from, we all need the same grace. We need the same Savior. It doesn't matter what side of the broad road you're walking on, you need Christ and you need to know him as your Redeemer. And he's going to come and give his testimony just in a few minutes' time, but the choir is going to bring a final message and song just before that. Thank you.
himself plugged in.
I would like to thank Mr. Park for inviting me here tonight to give a word of testimony. I would like to thank most of all my Saviour and my God for saving me. Now, this would be my 15th birthday, actually tonight, today, because I was saved on the 4th of April 1999 on Easter Sunday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was. So this is, I'm saved 15 years today. I was just thinking that when I was sitting down there. So it was. So I not only thank my Saviour for saving me, but for keeping me this far. And it's only as we look unto Him, who is faithful, that we can work and do and walk in this world as strangers, as people of God. But I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please, and we'll read from God's Word. Read from chapter verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And amen. And God will bless the word to your hearts and souls tonight. And just pray for a wee word of prayer, please. Almighty God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, what our ears have heard thus far, the singing of thy word, singing of those pieces, Lord, and Father God, all that has went forth tonight, the dedication of this little one, Lord, and we do look to thee, Father God, to lead him and guide him through life. May he be like his grandfather, Lord. May he go grow up and preach the wondrous truths of Jesus Christ, came to save and to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we look unto thee. We come, Lord, and we ask thee for that help from heaven. Lord, as you said to us, Lord, open thy mouth, and I will fill it. Help me now by thy Spirit, Father God, I pray. I take hold of him tonight. He is lovely, Lord. He has led me and guided me through my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me now, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I was born into a family of two in Ballymena, the big city there where there's a big shopping centre. So there is, right in the middle over. So there is. But as I grew up, my mum and dad, yes, my mum and dad still aren't saved. I'm the only one saved in my family. Maybe you're here tonight and you think that because your mum and dad saved, you'll be saved. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm the only one saved in my family, so I'm my brother, my mum, my dad. None of them are saved. My sons, I have three sons, none of them are saved. So they're not. I'm the only one saved in that family, and I thank the Lord for that, even for that witness, to be in that family as a witness for their Lord. But my mum and dad were like everybody else in those days. They grew up with very little, and when they growing up, they says, well, when we have children, we're going to give them what they want. I'd have been a spoilt child, a very spoilt child. So I would have got what I wanted. The only thing I never got was a motorbike when I was 18. That was it. I had clothes, I had shoes on my feet. I couldn't say anything about my mum and dad. My mum and dad were good to us. When you needed a clip round your ear, you got one. So you did. When you needed a hug, you got one. You know, I thank the Lord where the Lord has placed me into a family like that. So my mum and dad didn't drink. So they didn't. I never seen them drunk. I never seen drink in the house. But my mum and dad, they would have went to church. I mind going down to Harville Presbyterian Church with my mum and dad when I was only a wee nipper. So I would have been, I'd only been 2 or 3 years old. And I remember my mother saying to me, "We used to call you the little preacher." Because I had to come home and after Sunday school I had to preach to them. But I never ever remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. But my mum told me that not so long ago there. So she did, and it just got me thinking, even back then, you know, the Sunday school then. But I still cannot remember any verses of God's word or anything like that before I got saved. I don't remember any of it. So I don't. And then we moved church. We went to a wee church where we live at in Ballykeel, Presbyterian Church, and just joined the BB and things like that. But the men in there didn't really like me, and I didn't really like them. So then all I wanted to do was play football. So it was at a young age, and that's what I'd done. I played football, done goals, and that's really what my life was till about 12 years old. So it was, and we were playing football, and then my cousins, they joined a band in Ballymena. It was the Ballymena Young Defenders, and they were in this band, and it came my time to join the band. So I don't know how it came about, but I mind going down into the Protestant Hall in Ballymena and going in and sitting down, and everybody was there, and my cousins were there, and I was sitting in among them, and this man came over and reached me a flute, and he says, "There's a wee tune, you need to learn that for next week." And it was the US Marines. I mean that. That's the first tune I ever learned in the flute. But that man at that time, his name was Rodney Palmer. And that's the first inkling I had of Rodney Palmer. So it was, but even then, I was learning the tunes, and we were going to the band practice, and it must have been about 4 weeks, 5 weeks into this, my mum's head bound to have been fried, because I was playing this tune every night, but could never get the hold of it. So I couldn't. There was bum notes here, there and everywhere. But I was saying, right, everybody else is in this band, I'm going to have to learn this tune. So that's what we done. But one night their knock came to the door, and it was Rodney Palmer and another boy standing, and he says, "Look, we're disbanding this band. I want the flute back." You know, that nearly broke my heart. Because I wanted so much to be in the band. I wanted to be so much a loyalist. So that even at that young age, that's all we ever done round the estate. Made bonfires, the top is coming up now. They're even in today up in Ballykeel, the wains are running about, putting things into the bonfire, making a bonfire, and that's what I wanted to be. So that, but one shortly after that, my cousin, he started up an R band in Ballykeel Loyal Sons of Ulster, him and an R fella. And I joined that band. I have nothing against bands. Not a thing. But it's what comes along with the bands. Little did I know, when I joined that band, that I would need the protection of my mum and dad. That I would be an ill-bred man. When I joined that band, I thought I was having life. You know, the psalm says in Psalm 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And I had an excuse now. I used to have to be in for 7 o'clock every night, no matter what. So it wasn't everybody else was running about, but I had to be in for 7. You know, but when I joined the band on a Friday night and Saturday night, I was allowed out. Band practice night, I was allowed out. So it was. My mum and dad didn't know what was happening even in the band practice. At that time, the UVF were having their meetings. After we had the band practice, the UVF, they had their meetings behind after the band. They all joined the band. So they did. And we all seen this, and this is what our desire was at that time. So it was. But you know, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Nobody would have told me any different. Nobody would have told me any different that in 4 or 5 years' time, I would be crying in a flat. I would be lying in a gutter. I would be a drunken scut. Nobody, when I joined that band. You know, I thought I was joining the band who prayed around Northern Ireland to show my allegiance to my God and my King and my country and that band. You know, wasn't long into the band when I knew there was no God in it. And then I didn't want to know God neither. You know, in Ephesians 2:1 it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And I honestly can tell you I was dead in my trespasses and sins. You know, the Bible tells us, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a bondslave to sin." And that's in John 8:34. You know, little did I know. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're outside of Christ, that means if you haven't got Christ in your heart, it says the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're in this meeting tonight against God. You know, I never heard them truths until I was 32 years old. And I lived in the Bible Belt of Northern Ireland. Maybe tonight you're not going to like what I have to say to you. But I must say it to you. I must say it to you. For I wish somebody would have said it to me. I wish somebody would have said it to me at a young age and warned me where my feet were going to go. You know, I see young men, young women today doing the exact same things as I done. I see my sons doing the exact same things as I done. I warn them. I tell them what's going to happen. So, you know, nobody told me. You know what it says in Isaiah 59:2? "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." You know, you have no peace with God. Your head's fried. That means your head's melted. You don't know where you're going. So you don't know where you're going if you leave this scene of time. You've maybe been out at the weekend, a good night. You woke up in the morning. Maybe who were you lying beside? Do you know her name? Do you know his name? You know, this is reality. This is life. And this is life and death. You know, without Christ, we read it there, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. I had no promises to hold on to. You know, I started off drinking a tin of beer and a bottle of cider. I ended up inside a bottle of vodka. For I could not live my life. Could not live my life except I had a drink inside my body. You know, and that was at the age of 24, 25 years old. I started off 13 years old in that band. All through the troubles, I can tell you many a story, but I'm not here to glorify sin. Anglo-Irish agreement was there. So there was. You know, many a thing I thought I was doing for this country. Little did I know, I was wrecking my own country. I was wrecking my own estate. I was wrecking my own people. I was wrecking my own life. And sadly to say, I was making a big hole for my 3 sons. I had 3 sons. To my first wife, and that's another thing, I wrecked my marriage through drink. I had a wife when we got married, when we were 21. And when I was 28, I was divorced. I had 3 sons out of that marriage. So I became a weekend dad. If you want to carry on in the ways you're carrying on and be a weekend dad, let me tell you, you'll do some crying. When you see your sons coming and going, and you think you're going to go, oh well, that's them away, I'm going for a drink. You know, I want for a drink to kill my sin, so I won't have to think on it anymore. That's how I live my life. I was condemned. The Bible says in John 3:18, condemned already. The wages of sin is death. If I had died in my sin, then I'd have been in hell, where I deserved to be. You know, people maybe would have come up and spoke to me about the Bible. I'd have said to them, do you understand the life I'm living? Do you understand what's inside my head? Do you understand what I have to wake up to in the morning? And they were telling me that Jesus loved me. You know, I'd have been one of those boys who would have lifted a track off them if it had took one, and I would have scrambled it up and I would have threw it in their face. And I would have said to them, go and get a life. That's what kind of person I was. Well, this fellow Rodney Balmer got saved. I don't know when Rodney got saved, but he got saved. And Rodney was a nutter. That's all I can say about Rodney Balmer. He was a complete and utter nutter. Rodney, when he done something, he done it 100%. That was it. Rodney was in and out of jail more. Rodney was in jail more than he was out of jail. So he was, and I'd get friendly with Rodney, and we had started working together. But Rodney had got saved. And Rodney had started to come into work on a Monday morning. I'd have got in on a Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. So I would have. Rodney would have been coming in, and he'd been sitting in a building site with a Bible open at tea time, reading his Bible. And we'd have been all sitting looking at him and going, look at that nutter. You know, but when the crowd was there, I was calling Rodney a nutter. But when the crowd wasn't there, I was asking Rodney questions. And Rodney was learning wee verses of scripture. So he was learning wee verses like Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Rodney was telling me I was lost. Rodney had no need to tell me I was lost. I knew I was lost. But I did not know why I was lost. I did not know that I was a sinner. I did not know that I was born in sin. For when I went to Sunday school, I never heard that. I heard, if you're a good lad, you'll get into heaven. God is love. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. For the Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Why would the Bible say that if we can get in our own ways? Why did Christ go to the cross? Why did he say those wonderful, wonderful words, "It is finished"? You know, men and women, if you're in here tonight, there's a Saviour for you. Matthew 19 and 26 says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Well, Rodney kept at me and at me and at me, and he was always at me to go to wee meetings. So he was to go to church, and I wasn't going to no church. I wasn't going to go in and sit in with people I didn't know. So I wasn't going to go there. And he had asked me to come to a wee mission up in Bali, and I says, aye, well, I'll go, you know. So there was about five or six I was supposed to go, but that night I ended up, it was only me, myself, said I would go. And at this time I was living with a girl, and she said, I'll go away. So by this time me and her had been sitting, talking, about things of the Lord. We had been sitting talking about the Bible. She had always said to me, "Ryan, why do you do those things?" You know, and what thing, you know, what she was meaning is, why every night we go out, why are you fighting? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I just sit there, I don't need a reason. And neither I did. You know, people, I stand up here tonight talking to you in my right mind. If you'd have seen me in my days, I couldn't even have spoke a word to you. If you'd have been in a bar with me, I don't do this for anything, but this is the way I was. If I'd have been in that bar, and you'd have been talking to me, and you'd have been trying to get above me, talk above me, I'd have knocked you clean out. I wouldn't even have thought about it. So I would have just knocked you clean out, and that'd have been it. And I just walked away, and I mind Diane many a night, why do you do that? I says, well, I don't need nothing, just go on. But that brought a lot of trouble to the door. So it just brought more trouble, brought police to the door, and my mum and dad's heart was broke. So there was, but 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And this man, Rodney, was pointing me in this way. Well, I went to that meeting that night. And the man Rodney saying to me, he says, Ryan, you're ever in a meeting. And if you're in here tonight and you're unsaved, listen to this. This is what he said to me. He says, Ryan, ask God to speak to you. Now, I went into that meeting that night. I said to the Lord, I said to God, I says, God, if you're going to save me, you'll save me tonight. I didn't know what the word save mean, but I knew Rodney was saved. So I did. I didn't know how he got saved, but I knew he was saved. I knew he was changed. You know, with a smile on his face that I had paid thousands of pounds for. I paid hundreds of pounds for every weekend to get that happiness that Rodney had in his face. Maybe you're out at the weekend trying to find happiness. You'll never, ever, ever find it out there. Never, ever find it out there. It brought me to my knees. It brought me to standing in a dual carriageway, in the grassway, in a dual carriageway, wanting to take my own life because I couldn't live in this world no more. That's where my life had driven me. You know, in Romans 5 and 8 it says, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and Rodney, I came out of that meeting that night and they took me home. You know, I came out of that meeting thinking God didn't even want me. I was that bad that God didn't even want me. Because I went into that meeting unsaved and I came out of that meeting unsaved. I lived in a flat in Ballykill and I can honestly say that was in October. I cried every night from that night to the night I got saved. God, why do you not want me? I mind going to bed many a night paralytic drunk, waking up the next morning going, I hope it's today. I lived three stories up, I walked down the stairs, opened the door, and everything was the same. And I went, it's not today. And that went on for months and months and months. And Rodney and another fella started to pray on a Friday night. I didn't know this until they told me after. They started to pray on a Friday night that the Lord would convict me of my sins. And I can honestly say the Lord was convicting me. I didn't know at that time. Was convicting me every moment of my life at that time. You know, maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you've been in meetings before and the Lord's convicting you. And he spoke to you and you're scared. Well, I want to tell you a thing. I tremble every night of the week. You know, it went that far that I wanted to take, as I was saying, my own life. because I couldn't get it. I couldn't get what Rodney had. I tried to be good. I tried to stop drinking. I done it. You get yourself a pat on the back, and then on you go. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, I wasn't reading the Bible at that time. Matter of fact, I learned to read reading the Bible. I wasn't a very good reader at school. I'd have walked into the classroom and held my hands out in English, and I'd have got 6 and sat down. Spelling day came and held my hands out and got another 6 and sat down. For if you got any more, if we had spelling tests at that time and it was out of 20, and if you'd have got 18 wrong, you'd be 18. So if you walked in and got 6, that was happy days. You're only getting 6 instead of 18, and I was usually getting 18, so 6 wasn't too bad, I thought anyway. But in those days, you didn't get much help in the English. You could beat into a corner or stuck in a corner, and you sit down there, you can do nothing. But that's the way it was. So it was. And that's life. That's the way I looked at it. You know, but Rodney was still talking to me, and I'm still being convicted. Me and Diane, we were still talking about the Lord, and the men going to the public bars in Ballymena, and we're going into the bars, and they were talking about God, and they were talking about God here, and they were talking about everywhere I was going, they were talking about God. And I'm sitting in the public bar in Harryville, in the Moat Bar, and they were sitting talking about God, and I go, what are you doing? You're in a bar drinking and you're talking about God. These are doing my head in. You know, and I was there, and I didn't want to be there, and I was running with the crowd, and I didn't know what to do. Well, on the 4th of April 1999, about 10:30 at night, me and the cousin were arguing in a bar, and I had a vodka and coke in front of me, and I mind drinking that, and I set it on the table, and the wee knock, and I said to myself, I'm just going to turn around and hit you a dig in the mouth, son, and I couldn't be bothered listening to you anymore. And I mean, that wee noise and a voice coming into my head saying, Ryan, you know a better man than this. And I walked to Rodney's house that night. He lived up in Drumtowers, about 3.5 miles away. I walked up there and I knocked the door, and Rodney was only home for the Martyrs, and he asked me to come in. I came in, and Mr. Millen came in from Reynoldstown. So he did. Mr. Millen opened the Bible, and Mr. Millen showed me out of the Bible where I was a sinner, where Christ had died for my sin. And I said to him, well, but God didn't want me, because I had asked God into my life more times than enough, and He never came in. You know, people, I thought everything else had to change. Little did I know I needed a heart operation. I needed my heart to change. I thought when I got saved, everything would change. You know, maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you don't understand salvation. You don't know. You know, it's just simply by faith. I got down at the edge of a bed in Drumtara with about £150 worth of vodka in me that day. I was paralytic drunk. I simply got down to the edge of Ed and Drumtara, and I asked the Lord into my heart. I asked Him to come in, to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me in His precious blood, and that He would lead me and that He would guide me through life, because I can't live this life anymore. You know, praise the Lord come in. You say, how do you know He come in? How do you know He didn't? But He did come in. You know, the Bible says in John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and that's Christ, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you're unsaved, you cannot receive the Spirit of God. whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. You know, Christ lives within every Christian. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You know, I had a start on the 4th of April 1999 and start to read this book. If I wanted to know more about Jesus, you know, I didn't know one story in the Bible when I got saved. Not one. Wee Tam Laverty, I mind being in Reynoldstown Church, in with the children at the Bible class, and Billy Hannah saying, you know the story of Daniel, you know what Daniel done, you know the story of this, Moses, you know what Moses done. I went home and I got wee Laverty on the phone. I said, Laverty, get you over here. Where is Moses in this Bible? Where is Daniel in this Bible? I meant to know these things. And I mind wee Tom coming over, and he came over and he showed me in the Bible, and he says, Ryan, you'd be better going and getting the children's book. And that's what I done. I went and got children's books and read those stories. And read them, and read them, and read them. You know, and it was about 3 months I got saved, and it was about 3 months later of mine. Don't be doing this now. I was driving up the Jill Carriageway up the Antrim, and I was reading a wee trek. So I was. It was called The Empty Tomb. And I was driving along reading it, you know, and I was just praying. And I wasn't my eyes closed either now. Like, I was driving, I wasn't my eyes closed. I was praying. And I was just saying the Lord speak to me. Really helped me today. I was going through something. I can't mind what it was, but I was going through something anyway. And I mind opening it up, and I mind seeing this man hand going round and grabbing this man's face like that. And it says, and they pulled the beard off him. You know, I broke down in tears. Because the Lord said to me, that was you. You were there at that cross. He bore my sin upon his own body, upon the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And I knew from that day the Lord died for my sins. But I knew from that day that if nobody else in this world was to be saved, he still would have done it for me. You know, you're in this meeting, and they have done the exact same thing for you. If none of us was to be saved, he still would have went to that cross for you. You know, so that made it personal. That made it personal to me. So it did. And that showed me, no matter what, my mum, my dad, my grannies, my grandads, if they were saved, it still wouldn't matter. I still need it to be saved. And it's the same as you today. You still need to be saved. Have you got a personal walk and talk with Jesus Christ? I asked you that question tonight. You know, today I stand here as a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I stand here in this book. So I do, I mind a woman saying to me one time when we were reading Jonah, if that book would have said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it to him. So would I. I see that book. That book rebuilt my life. Nobody knows how low I was. I didn't want to live over 50. I always thought, you reap what you sow. So you do. And I might have been a young boy and been around keeping all the old boys going down the town. And they were around 50, and I didn't want to be living with 50 and people can around keeping me going. You know, and that's what I thought. I didn't want to live, so I didn't. But I honestly can tell you today, I want to live. I have a peace in my heart tonight. But I know my family, my sons, will be saved. My granddaughter will be saved. Because this book tells me that they will be saved. You know, this book will take you all around this world, especially you young people. You know, when I wish now I could turn the clock back. People say they don't, but I do. I don't want to live the life I live. So I didn't. I was only existing on this side of eternity until the 4th of April 1999. I get into people's homes today. Again, and sit down. I maybe talk to a son, or maybe talk to a daughter who's a drink problem, who's got a drug problem, or who's just got a problem. You know, see, when I sit down and I look over, I just say, thank you, Lord. That's all I say. Thank you, Lord. And then I say, Lord, how can you help these people? For I can't. There's not one thing I can say to a drug addict. Not one thing that Ryan Smith can do for a drug addict. I lift this book and I tell them there's peace, there's joy, there's freedom. If you want it, it's in there. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. It's brilliant. I love being saved. I love giving my testimony. So, because I want to show people what God can do. I'm saved 15 years today by the night. So, you know, the Lord can keep you. The Lord left a scumbag from Ballyhill. That's what I was, a scumbag from Ballyhill. Lower than life, lower than low. Thinking that I was a loyalist, thinking that I was a Protestant. I was no Protestant, so I wasn't. I'm a Protestant now. I'm a Protestant now against the Roman Catholic faith. It's that faith that takes people to hell. That faith of good works. I hope tonight that you see I did not work my way here tonight. I did not work my way here tonight. I get down at the edge of a bed in Drumtara. I never went to church. The time I went to church, I got married. So I did. That was it. I had to go for 6 weeks. And the wee prime minister, he never preached the gospel. So he never. See, this country today, I love my country. I love my people. So this country needs Jesus Christ. You know, you need Jesus Christ tonight. Or you want to be in an army? Be in the Lord's army. Because I'm going to tell you a wee thing. He'll never let you down. And he's always there, right beside you, when you need him. He's not like that friend who leaves you lying in the gutter. So he's not. One of my sons came home the other night. So he did. His friends left him in the gutter. Such friends they were. They went out with him, left him in the gutter. A taxi man left him in the middle of the street. I don't get it easy at home neither. So I don't. I pray for them. God will save them. They have to live their own life. But you're here tonight And see, if a Christian has brought you here tonight, he's like Rodney Balmer. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Because he's brought you here tonight to hear the truth. If you die in your sin, you're going to hell. If you're in your sin tonight, you're a child of the devil. I was a child of the devil till the 4th of April 1999. And I served him well. What way are you serving him tonight? Young man, what way are you serving him tonight? Have you your suit on, your tie on, and you know you're not saved? Don't live any more for him. No more, he's a liar. He's stinking, he'll take your life. He's taking two young men's lives in Ballymena at the minute. Say, Haz, I can take you to houses where they're wrecked. And I'm talking about Free Presbyterian houses. Young men that grew up in the gospel. Young girls and they're wrecked. Because of sin. This country's on their way out. Drugs in this country is going to overtake. Or young people, my granddaughter's coming up, Mr. Park's grandson's coming up. In the schools today, the weans are going in with diazepam in them to the teachers. How's the teachers doing it? I don't know. When I went to school and I looked wrong at a teacher, I got a duster threw at me. So I did. I got a slap around the ear. So I did. You know, the country's wrecked. We've got a government and they don't care one thing about anybody. But Christ, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer to all our problems. Amen.
Let's just bow together before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for God's grace that has triumphed in Ryan's life. We thank Thee for these 15 years that he has been found in Christ. And Lord, as we've read in Your Word tonight, it is by grace that we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lord, Thou knowest every heart. Thou dost see us as we are, right inside. You know those in this meeting that are still unsaved and they need Christ. We pray that they'll come to know the Saviour, defeat the devil, break the powers of sin and the world, and set men free and young people. Lord, save them for Your glory tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing one verse of our closing hymn, 288. It tells you what you need to do. You need to come to the cross. You need to trust Christ as your Saviour. If you're not saved tonight, the Lord can save you, just as He did for Ryan. The hymn writer says, I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. Will you come? Will you come to the cross? Will you cry in your heart, save me? Save me, Jesus, save me now. And thank God He will. 288, just the verse 1 and the chorus. Stand to our feet. going to close in prayer, and we'll ask Ryan to go to the door as well. Maybe someone here, you'd like to talk to him, talk to some Christian that's with you, but don't go away without the Saviour tonight. Lord, we thank thee for that man of whom the Saviour spoke in the Scripture that went into the house of God one day, wouldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and cried out from his heart, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we thank thee that that man, Jesus tells us, went down to his house justified. And we thank thee that here in the house of God tonight, for any who are still in their sin, if they cry out from their heart, save me, Jesus, save me now, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that the Lord will save them, and they will go home justified, saved by the grace of God, their sins washed away, and their soul ready for heaven. Lord, may that be so. Speak on while the voice of man is silent, and separate us now with your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen.